Welcome to the Max Finance Podcast, where a certified financial planner and personal finance geek discuss how to make intentional financial decisions that maximize your money and achieve your goals. Alrighty, everybody. Welcome again to another episode of the Max Finance Podcast. Today, we're going to continue the conversation about money and relationships, this time with another special guest, my fiance, Justine. Welcome. And we're going to dive into a much similar topic as we did with Lauren's wife, Anna, and just talk a little bit more about our money and relationship and just how is it, how does it go from there, the background, the backstory, and maybe when we first started our journey together, and then where we are today. So for this particular episode, I'm going to be handing it off over to Lauren to do most of the driving. So that's who you'll be hearing. Lauren, feel free, take it away.
Thank you. And welcome again, Justine. Really looking forward to having you on our podcast. So I think the audience has heard a little bit about George and our background our first episode, but just our background and our sort of relationship with money and how that's evolved. But I was hoping you can kind of tell us just a little bit about yourself, your background and upbringing, and if you have any particular memories with regards to finances or money growing up that kind of stick with you today at all.
Hi, sure. Yeah, happy to be here. I could start just with an overview of myself. I was born in New York. I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona. So pretty similar to George in terms of growing up and kind of where we started. Went to college for English and political science, so two pretty heavy liberal arts degrees, but got a job in marketing right after graduation. Ended up in San Francisco when George and I moved there, and now I work at an agency that focuses on conferences and events, so in the PR space. So that's a little about me, and I'm sure George has mentioned we're in Portland, Oregon now is where we currently reside. We were very much a family, I would say, that didn't talk about money. It was very much like, we don't talk about money, religion, and politics, right? So even with my parents, I don't remember many discussions about money or kind of what our state of finances were. But that being said, like, as a child, you do pick up on things. And so I was always very aware of what we had or didn't have, especially in comparison to friends and, you know, kids at school. I would definitely say I was the kid who had like the generic brand of clothing, or like wasn't, you know, getting like the latest and greatest name brand stuff. So like was keenly aware of that difference. But it wasn't until, maybe middle school, I remember having like some conversations with friends about what their parents made. And I remember a friend who told me her dad made like $300,000 a year, and she thought that was completely normal. And maybe it is for a lot of people, but she thought that was like the standard. And just recently I had kind of learned what my parents made, and my mom is a teacher and my dad was in a sales role at the time. And so, I mean, each of them combined, I think maybe it was $100,000, maybe, I can't remember exactly. But so I remember being like aware of those kind of differences. But like, I don't remember like wanting for a ton growing up. Like I had a pretty solid middle-class childhood, the kind you could still like have in the 90s. I know it's different now. So yeah, that kind of is what my basis for money was. Not a ton of discussions about it, but I do remember like learning the importance of saving. My mom took me to the credit union when I was 5 and like opened a savings account for me. I had a little passbook like that I would bring in and deposit my birthday money. So there was definitely talking about saving, but it was in very general terms of like, it's more important to save, like don't spend more than you make. We just didn't really get into like the specifics of numbers.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds like you have a good kind of foundation. I think that's, you know, yeah. Saving and something that's really important. So that's great to hear. So maybe kind of fast forwarding a little bit to maybe when you I don't know, maybe when you had your first job or something like that. I guess, yeah, when did you kind of have your first job, and what did you kind of do with that income?
Yeah, my first job out of college, I was making $38,000 a year, which, I mean, was pretty good for the time and like living in a lower cost of living area, again, at that time. I lived at home with my parents for 2 years after college, so I did have a lot of opportunity to save and not pay on rent, but I didn't really do that. Since I didn't have rent to spend, I definitely focused more on going out and taking trips and just doing a lot of things that I was really excited to do now that I had extra money, and spending it on food and drinks and clothes and going out. So definitely was not super focused on saving in my first job out of college, but I did always contribute to my 401k and take advantage of the match. I had a really generous 5% match, and it vested immediately. So I knew enough at that time to take advantage of that. And that's something I still do to this day, is always take advantage of that match.
Yeah. So what about when you met George? You know, how did, what were your thoughts on dating someone who I guess, I don't know, I don't know if George was working in this industry when you met him, but yeah, just tell me about kind of how you guys met, maybe just at a high level, and then you know, what was it like to learn that this person maybe you were dating was a financial planner?
Yeah, he was in the industry at the time, but studying or beginning to study for his CFP designation. So kind of at the early stages of becoming a planner himself. So I do remember like knowing, okay, like this guy probably saves a lot. It's probably pretty focused on that. Probably pretty practical with money. I don't think I ever thought the word frugal, just because that's not something I think when I think of George. But I definitely was aware that like money was a focus of his. And something that not only that he did for work, but I could tell that he cared a lot about making sure he was in a healthy financial situation.
Yeah. So George, how about you? When you met Justine, what did you like, what were your thoughts on, were you guys kind of compatible financially, or did you guys have different sort of, I don't know, habits or perspectives?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't think that finances were a big portion. Like that wasn't like a thing that, oh, does this person check the box on? It was just, I mean, those were, I guess to give you more perspective. So Justine is 24. I think we were both age 24. So in effectively early 20s. Mm-hmm. And at that time, certainly was not, speaking personally, I was not like the model client. If I had a planner, I actually have some clients who were younger than me at that point, and I'm just blown away that they would even seek that. And so I just didn't even know that that was even a possibility to think about. I just assumed sort of that, you know, income would come with time and, you know, with experience and much more quickly. And so I think both of us were a lot less focused, on saving, and maybe it was more so on spending and again, early 20s. So, and then I think as things evolved, and I'm sure we'll get there, but become a little, much more diligent about, you know, where the money's going. I want to say at that time I had just bought, a condo right next to work, a small condo. That was really nice, but you know, kind of similar to Justine, where I had roommates up to that point, and wasn't spending that much on housing. So yeah, it's amazing that really wasn't part of the overall checklist.
Yeah, well, I think that's actually more common, I'm sure, right? You're young and you're just dating, and I don't think that's, yeah, I'm not recommending that people screen for that early on at all. Maybe my question was a bit leading there. But what were some of the first kind of, can you remember the first kind of conversations you had around finances or anything, or maybe just goals or ambitions, maybe career related, anything that kind of is related to that?
Yeah, I do remember being impressed, really, that George, that you did own a home. I mean, I know it's a condo, and but it's still a home. Like, you were a homeowner at a very young age.
Like you said.
Yeah,
and that's very impressive.
And I remember going there for the first time and like thinking, oh, like this guy rents. Obviously, like he doesn't have roommates. That's great. Like, how much rent do you pay? And I think. I think that's when he's like, oh no, like I own this. And it's like, oh, I don't know anyone who owns a home right now that isn't under the age of 30. Like, it just wasn't something that was happening in my friend group. So I remember having a conversation about that. And then I do think, George, that's when I was looking for apartments to move into with a roommate. And so I do remember talking to you about like how much rent would cost and like some things that I might want to be thinking about in terms of like budgeting. So we probably did have some very kind of surface level conversations about that, but we didn't really start talking about like money and money as a couple until we decided to move in together. So that's really what accelerated it. I'm sure that's how it works for a lot of people. And there was a definite switch from thinking about money in terms of mine and yours, and now having to realize, oh, this is our money, and now we have shared goals and shared things to spend on, and kind of now how we spend money individually impacts our joint spending and our joint savings. So that was a definite mindset shift. And even just thinking through things like going out to eat, like George paid for a lot of things early on, and that was really nice. And I've never discounted how great that was, but it switched from now it's like, well, it's both of our money. So now it's going to come out of a joint account, or, you know, we'll have to budget for things like going out to eat and everything else that comes with moving in together and kind of merging finances.
Yeah. So let's see. So when you guys decided to move in together, George, you owned a condo. What did you guys do? Did you guys decide to move in together into that condo? Did you look for a new place together? How did that work? And how did you guys kind of talk through and figure out kind of the finances now that you're sharing a space that was once, you know, just owned and paid, presumably, you know, previously, George, you had just paid the mortgage. So how did that work?
Yeah, so that worked. We actually didn't move into that condo. We ended up moving to San Francisco. I'm looking back, I imagine I could have done this a lot better than I did. I was a newly minted CFP, and so I wanted to, and the role I was in was not a financial advisory role or a financial planner role. And so I wanted to go work somewhere that did have that. And so there was an opportunity that opened up in San Francisco, and both of us have never been lived out of the state before. And so, I have this job. I'd love for you to come with me and like make this work. I know that you're already working somewhere and, you know, we'll have to figure that out. And so it really wasn't as intentional, again, looking back, as it probably could have been. But yeah, I ended up moving to San Francisco and for a handful of months while Justine was looking for work at the time to come up.
Okay. So you moved to San Francisco first before you moved, Justine.
Correct.
Yeah, but we did look for apartments together. So I remember a lot of conversations about, oh, does it make sense to live in the city? Like, should we live in the South Bay or somewhere else? Which would have put George, you closer to work. But like, I wasn't too keen on that. My thought was, if we're going to move to the Bay Area, like, let's do San Francisco. Let's really experience that. So we did look for apartments together. And of course, you know, the typical like Bay Area sticker shock of seeing what $2,500 a month at that time gets you. But we did kind of go through that process together. And then once I did get a job there and move out is when we started splitting the rent. So I think we decided pretty early on to set up a joint bank account specifically for household expenses. So rent, electricity, Wi-Fi, all that good stuff, but still kept our individual account. So I think at the beginning we were putting in, I think, the same amount from every paycheck. And then there was a time period where George got a new job and was making kind of significantly more than me. So he was putting it a little more. I think we did like a certain percentage of each of our paychecks. So it was still proportional, but his contribution was a little higher. Mm-hmm. And then it equaled out again, I think a year or so later. So we started that joint account from the beginning, and that's worked really well for us, I think. We definitely had a couple of conversations over the years about like, okay, what's an appropriate use of the joint account? Like, for instance, I know we had some trips that, for example, let's say if it was like George's friends who initiated a trip and like, yeah, it's great if I go, but like, I wouldn't have like come up with this idea on my own. Like sure. It was very much a, his idea and inviting me to come along. Like, is that joint account money or is that like George taking me on a trip money or certain things for the house? Like if there was kitchen things that I wanted to buy that like he, you know, just does not care about, I'm going to be the only one using it. Is that joint account money or is like, should that come from my account if I'm the one who wants like a Le Creuset, you know, pot or whatever it is? So definitely, you know, some growing pains over the years and figuring out like what is an appropriate use of those monies. But that's still how we do it to this day. So I think it's worked out pretty well.
Yeah. I mean, those are great examples of, I think, of just challenges. Besides just talking through it, was there any kind of trick or kind of guidelines that you've set or any, like how have you, presumably, you know, you figured out something that sort of worked, but like, how do you manage through those kinds of questions or those decisions today?
Yeah. I mean, I guess if really is just communication, right? That's really been the crux of it. I kind of remember an early conversation about us trying to set more of a firm rule, like, okay, if a purchase is over $100 and we think it's joint account worthy, like that should trigger a conversation. Like we should have a conversation about that before one person decides on their own to spend that money. I don't know if we've stuck to that over the years, but for the most part, like, yeah, any bigger purchase, there's a conversation or multiple conversations over the course of a, you know, certain time period about how we're going to spend that money and like what makes the most sense for us.
Got it. So this joint account, you use it for, so it sounds like obviously for household expenses, but then also potentially also trips as well. Would you add in money specifically extra for those trips or something? Like, I guess I'm trying to understand, like, What else do you kind of contribute to it every month? Like with the expectation that it's going to come out of kind of that. And then when do you have to kind of like add things to it sort of maybe at an ad hoc basis or depending on things that come up?
Yeah, you said it pretty much. Trips is usually when we have to add more to it. And it just kind of depends who is in a position to add more to it. So obviously as our relationship has kind of matured and we're in a position now where we're thinking about money in terms of it being ours instead of mine or his, like there have been times where he has put more into it than I have, or I've added, you know, more over a certain number of months, if I've been in the position to do so. So it's just kind of depended, but yeah, it's really just been trips. And then like bigger household expenses, like we just had to purchase a new AC unit for our house. So that is something where it has to be done. Like, you know, it's not something I'm particularly excited about, but I understand like it has to happen. It's for the house. So it's joint account worthy, but also it's primarily coming from a bonus that I was able to receive at the beginning of this year. So I'll be adding more into the joint account to cover that purchase.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Has the kind of amount that you have contributed to the joint account kind of increased over time has it increased over time? Has it stayed kind of relatively the same size?
I think it stayed pretty much the same size, because I think what we were paying for rent in San Francisco is pretty equal to what we now spend monthly on like mortgage and other household stuff. George, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like we haven't really increased the contributions that much. And I do direct deposit with my paycheck and I just split it up. So every 2 weeks, like a certain amount, a set amount is going into that joint account. And then the rest goes into my personal account. And I don't remember having to change that too much.
Yeah, I think that's exactly spot on. The dynamic has changed quite a bit in our splitting of expenses since me starting this business. So being, a little bit more than a year here in the business, we've shifted our thinking a bit.
You want to tell us a little bit more about that? Yeah, I mean,
we can end it there.
I'm curious. Yeah, how do you handle things like, I guess, just kind of changes in income? How do you do that?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Justine, if you want to kick us off.
Yeah, I mean, mine's a little more high level. I think something that George is really, really good at is kind of that long term thinking. So I can get kind of caught up in the short term and like the day to day, and he's great about just kind of bringing it back to high level. So yeah, right now, like what we're contributing is not even at all, but what we're doing right now is an investment in our future and like our earning potential specifically in future years. Right. So it was definitely difficult for me at the beginning because there was some of that like old patterns of thinking of like, oh, am I, you know, doing too much in this relationship? Am I being taken advantage of in some way? Not that I ever really thought that was happening, but I think especially as a woman in a relationship, like it's something you have to consider. Like, are you putting yourself in a situation where someone has control of your finances that they shouldn't have, or, you know, are you doing more than you really should be doing? So mm-hmm. definitely something I thought about, but I mean, ultimately it is really an investment in our future. Right. And especially after getting engaged, I mean, it just solidified that it's not just about me anymore, or it's not just about him. It's really our money. So we're building something together, and sure, I'm putting more in right now, but who's to say like what's going to happen in the future? Like, I fully expect him to be earning more and contributing more to household stuff at some point. Hopefully, right, George?
That's the plan. Yeah. So to give you a little bit more of the logistical side of things, very fortunate that Justine is covering the kind of keep the lights on expenses. And my focus has been, because my income is variable, my focus has been primarily on more of the fun stuff, whether it's trips, whether it's, things that we need around the house, kind of more. Yeah. Again, we moved without a bunch of furniture, but we moved to an area that's substantially less costly than the mm-hmm. Bay Area. So, sure. It just ended up working that way. And yeah, of course, the goal is once there's some more stability, when you add that wrinkle of a variable income, I've advised clients for many years now on that topic, but once you go through it yourself, it can be very challenging to try to figure out, okay, is this a floor, or is this money that I can count on, that I can bank on, or is there going to be a surprise? You know, how much of an emergency fund personally and business wise do you need in order to cover all of that? So, I'm certainly grateful in the way that Justine's viewing it. And we're to give more context. We've been living together for quite a long time. But we're recently engaged. So I think it's really taking that to that next level and thinking about things and goals, especially since me starting this endeavor. And you know, who knows down the road what may happen in terms of flexibility on Justine's end, if she wants to explore something else and do something professionally, and maybe that's taking a step back, and then I'll be there to cover. So it's definitely an ebb and flow and evolving. But you know, it's also funny too, to think, as we reflect on kind of what has happened, has this been as master planned as what I do for my own clients? Definitely not. So I do want to illustrate that, and it's a very common one actually for, unfortunately, a lot of advisors are not necessarily the best, you know, planned as they would their own clients.
Well, yeah, it's much easier to give advice, and you know, it's one thing, it is necessarily take it, or even just to figure out how to apply it into, you know, to live by it per se. But so you mentioned, you guys are recently engaged, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Have you guys had any kind of explicit conversations around how things might change or how you might want to change things when it comes to finances when you get married? Or do you guys plan on kind of just doing more or less kind of what you're doing today?
Yeah, I think it's going to stay pretty much the same. Like George mentioned, we've lived together for 6 years now. So It's not, it's not a drastic change in terms of our relationship or our living situation. So I imagine it will continue doing what we have been doing. I do anticipate more discussions, just knowing George, about budgeting and kind of long-term retirement savings and like what that could look for us, you know, decades and decades from now.
I was just going to say, Lauren, too, the conversations of goal setting and joint goal setting are really just starting to ramp up. And so at some point we're going to have kids and that'll have a lot of expense, to income compression. And what I've seen is that's really going to be the moment where there's going to be it's going to be the most costly at that point in time.
Sure.
So, it's just interesting to try to also, I always try to make sure that we're trying to be unbiased, because frankly, I Justine, push back if this is an unfair characterization. I think we're both spenders. In the first episode, if you go back and listen to our first episode, you'll hear more about Lauren and I's background. But my family really expressed their love through material goods. So for me, savings is a real different feeling to have. And I tell my for those who are really big savers, it's like, and they approach retirement and they need to spend from their money, it's like, it's almost like brushing with your left hand if you're right-handed and vice versa. So when we talk jointly about different things, they're like, oh yeah, we want to go do this, we want to go do that. Generally speaking, we're both like, assuming it's not like going to Vegas or something like that and gambling or anything, that crazy. But it's not too hard, I don't think, to spend. And so really, it's going to be more on the planning side and making sure, okay, what are we on track for? And right. I have not gone through that exercise together.
Yeah, I was kind of curious in terms of, so we talked a little bit or good amount of like this kind of joint account and what you spend that for and how you contribute to it and how that's, has kind of fluctuated over time. Tell us a little bit more about what you guys, use your non-joint of funds for. And presumably some of that you mentioned is to, put into savings or retirement or something like that. And my real question is like, how much do you guys kind of agree on how much, or do you have any rough guidance as like how much you should each be saving for retirement? Because I would be interested if one person's like saving a lot more than the other, what are the implications of that, right? In terms of so I'm just curious, like, do you guys kind of keep check on each other and like compare, check in once in a while to see what those balances are? Do you guys contribute the same amount of month to retirement? Obviously, maybe not right now with difference in income, but just generally, do you try to do that?
This is a good question. This is an area that we actually haven't discussed a ton since our retirement savings is individual. I contribute like what my company matches. So right now, 3%. I'm putting in 5% currently, so a little more than that. And I know George is contributing as well, but we just really haven't had that conversation in terms of like how much each of us is putting away for that.
Yeah. So as I said, I mean, really the guidance has been making sure that we're optimizing any employer match and then going to the drawing board to see where is that going to plot us out to. And I admire a lot of my clients, and then any of those that I hear that are really aspiring for a momentous joint goal that requires all of the free cash flow. I think we both have been sort of on autopilot on the retirement side, and so definitely need to do a check-in to see, okay, where is this gonna take us? And so I think, one thing I want to mention really is again, I do this for a living, and this is how it's gone. And I'm sure there are planners that are much better than I to initiate these conversations and go through this a lot more diligently. But it really shines a light on where we need to potentially focus and just get an awareness of what we have, and see, you know, discuss, like, we haven't really discussed retirement. That hasn't really been a big topic. I like what I do. Justine, do you like what you do at the moment?
I do. Yeah. So you can ask if I like what you do and if I want to talk about retirement accounts every night.
There you go. We could make that a topic.
I mean, I will say though that our focus has been more short term, but still for big things. I mean, we bought a townhouse, you know, 6 months ago. So for a long time, our primary money conversations were about buying a house and what that was going to cost and how that would look and how we could make that happen. And then with getting engaged, like, a lot of our conversation now is like saving goals for the wedding. So mm-hmm. we have a goal for that and we're, you know, working on that. So for me, it's been easy to put retirement, like on autopilot and assume I'll think more about that later once I am in this house and can pay the mortgage and have had this wedding that we've been planning. So definitely like more short-term goals have, you know, just kind of been the priority, which I'm sure is pretty common with a lot of couples.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So you guys obviously maybe saving up for a wedding now. What do you think would be the next kind of goal after that? Would that be kind of for kids, or is anything in between, or any other goals that you guys are thinking about besides retirement or children?
Yeah, it's probably the kids piece is getting my mind around like how much that's actually going to cost. I feel like that's such an abstract concept to think through, like how much, you know, it would actually cost year to year to raise a child or two. And I've seen that figure of what it costs, you know, to raise a child from birth to 18 in the US. I can't remember the exact number, but it's more money than I've ever had. So I don't know how, you know, people are doing that and planning for that, but yeah, that would be the next piece.
Are there any things, I guess, maybe anything that you guys have learned over maybe since the course of dating each other, or, you know, being engaged and living together, any type of, things that you've learned that, maybe you want to share?
Yeah, I guess just both what we think is like worth spending money on. So like George said, we probably are both spenders, but I think what we choose to spend our money on is very different. And I mean, I can always be convinced to spend more money on food or some sort of experience, mm-hmm. Or a nicer hotel stay. And a lot of that is things that George has kind of like prioritized over the years. Like he's always willing to pay for like a flight upgrade if it makes sense, and not to first class, but just something as simple as like, we should pay, you know, the extra, whatever it is, to sit together on this flight versus mm-hmm. if that was left up to me, like I probably wouldn't make that decision, but I've always been happy that we've done it. So mm-hmm. it's kind of things like that where I would probably not spend that money if it was just me thinking about it, but spending that money is actually like increasing my enjoyment of something, and it's working out better for me in the long run. So that's been kind of interesting, just kind of experience and see. But other learnings, I'm not sure. George, do you have anything?
Yeah, I would just say, just in terms of goals, you know, our conversation about goals, you know, and I think it's a good, I think that's one where we're very complimentary, where I tend to focus a lot in the future, and you know, you do a really good job of thinking about sort of the here and now. And there can be times when I'm already on a trip, I'm already planning for what else we're going to try to do in the remainder of the year, and so over the years I've felt that trying to be better at living today and being grateful for what you have today, because frankly, you know, you work with all of these clients, and you know, most of them are high earners, and you know, it's inevitable to do the comparison and try to say, oh, I should be at this point, that point, this point, and so yeah, it's good to have that that balance, I think, between the two styles there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like you guys have very similar kind of outlooks and kind of perspectives, I suppose. Are there any things that either of you do or habits or things that they like to spend their money on that really the other one just doesn't understand at all or kind of drives them a little crazy? Like, what are the little things, you know, what are the things that that you think, man, like, I just don't get it?
Yeah, I mean, I know for me, George is always perplexed when like another box or package shows up at the house, because I do a lot of online shopping, and mm-hmm. in my defense, I return, I'd say 75% of it. You know, I prefer just to try things on at home these days and take it back in person. So he's not into it. Like I have to push him to be like, you need a coat. Like you actually need a winter coat now. So we have to go buy that. You have to spend money on that. Like it just has to happen. And then for him, you know, I'm always questioning, did you actually need that laptop or those speakers or whatever the latest, greatest tech thing is? You know, he would update his phone probably every year if he could. And I would use my phone until Apple tells me I can't anymore. So I'd say probably tech for him and clothing for me has been the biggest difference in spending.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd also add too that, like, just take the AC, for example, that's just more top of mind. You know, I think there can be an argument made in the Pacific Northwest. Do you even need AC? But we bought this place because it had AC. Mm. That's another word to the wise. Make sure you do a lot of due diligence. We noticed something that looked off and askew about the AC that we had, the home we just purchased, and had a home inspection, came through and said, oh, you know, it probably is not big of a deal, and maybe it'll be fixed, you know, by just having somebody come out and then look at it. And what we really should have done is made that in contingency of having somebody come out. Mm. But we were under the gun. Things were moving really quickly in this particular market, so we pushed forward. And so come to find out, when somebody comes out and looks at it, okay, actually you need a new AC unit completely because this is not going to be repaired. And so I bring all that up because, you know, you could just go, first off, you could just not buy an AC. You know, in a community that has a bunch of ACs, you know, in terms of resale value, that is something that's the forefront of my mind. You could just buy something that'll get you by that maybe isn't like the top brand, but, you know, Lauren, I think we share this just straight. You know, it's like, okay, well, what is the best one that I can buy for the money? What's going to last? Like, what are the reviews? What are the experts say about all of this stuff? And so, you know, again, you could have just bought one and maybe that costs, throw some numbers out. Maybe that costs like $5,000 for just something to get it done. Or you could buy a higher end model that'll last a little bit longer, and that's $7,000. And so that, I think, maybe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Justine, you probably maybe would first off question, do you even need it? But
well, I did.
You did. Yeah. So those are a lot of conversations about, okay, is this what we want to spend our money on? Like, we just got in the house. There's a lot of moving expenses. There's a lot of things we didn't take. Actually, so what happened was we moved all of the furniture that we had in San Francisco to my condo, and I do short-term rentals with the condo. So mm-hmm. basically all of the, I had some furniture that I sold off there and kind of upgraded with the stuff that we had. So we started over. And so there were already a lot of expenses just trying to buy stuff that you need, not alone, okay, a new AC unit. So yeah, there were a lot of conversations about, does it make sense to spend that right now? I mean, there's other, like we said, we're saving for a wedding. And so, you know, as we're coming into the summer season, as we're recording this, I just thought that, okay, well, and I've had a lot of clients that were like this, where they potentially did a lot of renovations right before they're going to sell their property rather than along mm-hmm. the way. So mm-hmm. To me, it was important, like, hey, if we're going to spend this money eventually, we have to, for, you know, I don't know what the future holds and if we're going to be in Portland forever. But I think it's important that that be fixed and that people are going to ask for that. So we do that now. And so, you know, and who knows if we're going to rent this place or, so I like to preserve optionality. And so that's sort of the line of thinking there. But yeah, it's like there can, you know, that difference can certainly add up. And so I like to I've been leveled and accused of much of maybe spending a little bit more on the higher end on some of these items and maybe not worrying as much about, like, say, a coat that will be a fraction of that. So, yeah, those are just some unique, I guess, tangible examples of having conversations that I'm sure a lot of folks go through.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, those are the conversations that can be really hard, I think. So it's great that you're able to talk through it and hopefully figure out a solution that works for both of you. Cool. I feel like we've covered a lot. Are there any things else that either of you thought maybe you want to talk about or things that we didn't cover?
Yeah, Justine, I'm curious, maybe putting you on the spot here, but you have friends that are asking you similar questions, about what happens when you combine finances, when do you do that? I mean, what has been your initial reaction to that or bias?
Well, my bias is the way we do it because I think it really has worked well, but obviously it doesn't work for everyone. And I have other friends who have also lived together with their partners for similar lengths of time and they Venmo each other rent every month and they haven't combined everything. They're still doing it that way. Or one person has the, gas in their name. The other person has the electricity and they're kind of still doing it like that. That seems like a lot of extra work to me. Like I think how we have been doing it is a little more streamlined and works for me. But again, I completely understand anyone's hesitancy to merge finances because it is kind of scary, especially if things are in flux or if you don't know what one person's going to be making in a year from now. It can definitely be a daunting thing to kind of tackle. So I think it really is just important to keep talking about it and know that any conversation you have about something related to money is probably not going to be the last conversation you have about it. I'm sure it's going to come up again and again and things could change. So I would err on the side of more talking.
I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Well said. Great. Well, yeah. Thank you, Justine, for coming on the podcast. Really appreciate it. Curious how you all out there in listener land thought about these two unique episodes. Let us know your thoughts. Feedback at maxfinancepodcast.com. That's feedback at maxfinancepodcast.com. Let us know if there was something that a unique story maybe that you have and combining your finances. We've outlined two rough sort of ways of going about it and talking about it and very different stories between the two of us and the two couples. But yeah, would love to hear yours as well as any other thoughts in terms of what you'd like to hear us cover next time. So with that, thank you all and hope you have a great rest of your day. Take care. We're a new podcast, and it would mean the world to us if you took a moment to write a review in the Apple Podcasts app or share this episode with a friend or family member. We'd like to hear from you. Is there a topic you're interested in? Have feedback more generally? Email us at feedback@maxfinancepodcast.com. Thanks, and see you next time.